I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Report duty, sir.
Jesse, this morning's been going like crazy, man. I'm ready to pull off some more pull-ups right now. I'm telling you, brother, this is an exciting show. We've got two special guests. Why don't you tell our folks what we're doing, brother?
Yeah, we've got Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's a psychiatrist.
Awesome guy.
He's going to be speaking this year at our Spiritual Warfare Conference. This seems to be the biggest conference that we have every year.
Yep.
And Dr. Luis Sandoval, again, I love him because he's a believing psychiatrist. Oh. He's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team over for the Diocese of Orange. He's going to bring a ton of experience and expertise to our conference in the area of spiritual warfare. And so mark your calendars and come and join us. It's going to be in St. Christopher Catholic Church.
That's right.
Dr. Luis, are you on the line?
Well, before he comes on, I just want to say, Jesse, I'm wearing the right shirt, the spiritual warfare shirt.
Oh, that's right. I see it.
Dr. Luis Sandoval, are you on the air with Terry and Jesse, my friend?
I am.
Oh, good.
Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me? Thank you. My brother, I had such fun meeting you. I know Jesse was with you in Colorado.
But we just hit it off. Oh, we hit it off. Yeah, like if we've known each other for 20 years.
Oh, we are family for sure. We just never met before.
That's right, brother. I love it. Let's get into it, Jess.
Dr. Luis, you're a psychiatrist, and I commend you because I can just imagine how many years you had to study to achieve that. You know, that PhD, that's kind of a marathon race. Well, let me ask you a question. You're very interesting to me because you're a believing psychiatrist. And so, I don't know, you're kind of like an anomaly in your community. How is it that you reconcile all your studies, B.F. Skinner, Freud, everything else out there that you've studied, how do you reconcile that with your Catholic faith? Has it been easy or difficult, or has it actually made you a better psychiatrist?
You know, what I usually tell people is, before anything else, I'm a Catholic son of God.
Amen.
So if nothing else, people say, oh, how can you be a psychiatrist? Especially a scientist, I love science. I used to teach chemistry. I go through medical school. I do psychiatry and family medicine. But the reality is, if we don't recognize that all the science is really put there by God, then we're missing a huge point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start forgetting that all this is something that we're discovering that was already there. And so I'm not creating anything. I'm discovering what God's placed before me. And so as a psychiatrist, what better than to look at the beauty that we are made in the image and likeness of God? And all I'm studying is really Jesus Christ in each of us. And so if we remember that, then any kind of psychiatry diagnosis or anything like that, it just makes sense that Christ is the center of that.
Well said.
You know, Luis, you said something that's an old Catholic truth. St. Thomas Aquinas says that all truth comes from God. Historical truth, scientific truth, biblical truth, archaeological truth. All truth has its source in God. So, I mean, you just nailed it by saying that, this is basically you're studying something that God gave us. Let me ask
that's
you a
right.
question. How did you personally get involved into this? You're a practicing Catholic. You're out there working in the field of psychiatry, helping a lot of people with the skill set you have. How did you get involved in this branch of Catholicism where you're helping people as part of the team in healing, deliverance, and exorcism? What role do you play, and how did you get called into this?
So, it was not something I was looking for, but it's funny how God prepares us to come to these situations, and God already kind of puts little clues that we're going to head in this direction. We might not realize it. For me personally, as I was practicing and at home, sometimes I would stay up late and take care of stuff. I started listening to different talks on Catholic topics. And I would listen on the internet, different talks on humility and pride and different topics that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of this, all of a sudden I started listening to some talks given by Father Ripperger on deliverance and on a conference on exorcism that he had on YouTube.
Yep.
And I started, and the channel just kept going as I was doing other things. I didn't think much of it other than I thought, wow, this is kind of different. I haven't thought about exorcisms or possessions, but it started coming on, and as I was listening to it, I realized it wasn't scary. You know, it was very informative. It was very academic, and I really appreciated that because it spoke to the nerdy part of my brain. And I thought, wow, this is very interesting. So I actually started taking notes. And as I was doing this, I listened to a few more talks. I didn't think much of it other than for personal spiritual growth and gain. And then lo and behold, I run into one of our priests here at the diocese when I went to go grab lunch one time. And he said, hey, what are you doing? And he's all out here, you know, you finished medical school. You're here in the diocese. What's going on? Because I had gone off to residency in different places and I had moved back to Orange County. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I finished medical school. I'm doing psychiatry now here locally. And he said, hey, do you think you could help me with something? And of course, I wanted to be nice to Father. So I said, of course, Father. What do you need? Anything you need. I didn't think what I was getting into. And he goes, oh, I actually need help with our deliverance ministry and doing exorcisms. And I thought for a moment, I thought, oh, well, maybe this is why I started listening to all these talks.
Exactly.
Aware that this was going to happen. So I was very prepared and I was able to, you know, very gladly tell him, sure, let's look into this. I knew that I was going to have to look at it now from a different perspective because now I have to incorporate some of the psychiatry that I learned because my role on the team is to do interviews for people who come to the team and they feel that they're spiritually afflicted. They feel that they might have opened a few doors into some areas of their life that they shouldn't have and allowed maybe some spirits in or some evil entities in. And now they want to figure out, how do I get out of this? So my job is to interview them, do a full psychiatric interview, because we cannot deny that a lot of these things can be masked either as psychiatric diagnoses or psychiatric diagnoses can appear as though somebody's being afflicted spiritually. And so we really have to make that distinction. The important part for me is sitting down with the person, getting to know them, and just kind of seeing what is it that they're presenting with? What's their affliction? Is this something that I would treat medically? Or is this something that they're experiencing some symptoms outside of the psychiatric realm, something that I wouldn't be able to explain specifically by medicine or science, but maybe it's more of a cultural approach. Maybe it's more something that, you know, we believe in our faith. And so making those distinctions is very helpful because then I can give my report to the team. We discuss it and we see how we can best help either the patient or the energumen through psychiatric care or through deliverance prayers.
Well said.
By the way, Dr. Lee's throw a quick word in there. He said energumens. A lot of people saying, what's he talking about, an energy drink?
Yeah.
That's what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the possessed.
Yeah.
Energumen. So he said it real quick. So people are saying, what's he talking about?
And just a quick note, Doc, you're coming to the Spiritual Warfare Conference the 11th of January, and people can register for that conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call right on the phone at 877-526-2151. You have a whole hour presentation you're going to give. Can you share with our listeners what are you going to give our listeners in the sense of information regarding your work?
First of all, I can't even tell you how excited I am about being at this conference. I think this is going to be an incredible
conference. Well, plan on it every year, my friend.
Absolutely. So much,
I would be more than happy to.
Thank you.
You know, I've already been planning. Every night I work on my talk a little bit. I go to pray, and I ask God kind of what he wants me to convey through our different topics.
Sure.
And really, what the topic I want to give this year is what I call the battlefield of the mind. Because that's where it happens. And this is what was so riveting about psychiatry and psychology for me. Mm-hmm. When we don't know who we are, we're very easily dissuaded into believing that we are something we are not. And if we do not recognize and we do not know that we belong to a mystical royal realm, and we are actually part of that,
amen,
we get tricked. We get tricked into believing that we belong in the dirt, that we belong like the prodigal son in the pigsty. And so we place ourselves in these situations without recognizing who we are. So what I want to talk about in my talk is going to be the mind and how to think about different things, looking at biblical quotes and how do we decipher this. And I can share a few stories of my patients at that talk as well and see how this has come about.
Wow. I want to go to that.
Hey, Dr. Lewis, that's kind of an area that I did talk a little bit about. I probed it in my book. The last chapter, I talk about the mental attack. So you and me, we're tracking on the same page. I mean, that's exactly where the diabolical attacks
I tell Jesse I read that book a few times, and every time it scares me in different ways.
In good way. go to jesseromero.com, folks, if you want to pick up Jesse's new book. Yeah, it's
great. I recommend that book to everybody.
You should.
I've recommended it to a few patients at this point. Jesse, you put out a real winner there.
Yeah, he did.
Praise the Lord. Doc, let me ask you another question. The DSM, which is like your Bible.
Yep.
I've read, in fact, there's a couple of websites that indicate this, that the new Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the fifth edition, has a number of changes to dissociative disorders, including possession.
That's correct.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, so I use that in my diagnoses all the time, especially for when I do interviews for the diocese, when people come to meet with me in our individual meetings, and once I evaluate them. If you look at the dissociative disorder section of the DSM-5, just in the first sentence, it defines dissociative disorder. It says it's characterized by the presence of either two or more distinct personality states or an experience of possession. And so already in dissociative disorder, we cannot deny that this is a phenomenon. You can call it cultural. I don't think that we've put any kind of scientific, objective numbers on it or statistics. But, you know, Jesse, you talk a lot about your experiences as a police officer, you know, walking into situations and saying, man, I was not trained for this in the academy. You know, somebody's levitating, somebody's doing something weird. Yeah. It's the same thing in medical school. We're not trained to look at the supernatural. We're not trained to look at the preternatural. We're trained to look at the science, and we're trained to look at different scenarios that people have experienced. But we've noticed in psychology, psychiatry, and in the medical world that there is a realm that is beyond our knowledge. You know, people seem to have these common experiences, and that's really how we diagnose, you know, any kind of medical disease, any kind of mental disorder. We look at, wow, there's this common phenomenon that's happening either to the body physically through infection or mentally, like, say, depression or anxiety, and it's across different people.
Amen. So, Lewis, we got to cut out. Yeah. Would you come back again next week for, like, a whole hour?
Oh, yeah, we got Dr. Lewis next Monday.
Oh, good.
And Jesus 911 next
right.
Monday.
Thanks again,
entire hour.
Doc. Appreciate it. God love you.
Well, thanks, guys.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I always like to say we're too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, all of us would be billionaires because we really think we're going to win even when the odds are against us.
Oh, we know we're going to win.
Absolutely. And I have someone on the air here that wrote a book called Habits for a Healthy Marriage. He's Dr. Richard P. Fitzgibbons. He's a medical doctor. I read this book and I said, oh my gosh, let's get him on the air. I mean, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So do we have Dr. Fitz?
Yep, Patrick? He's on.
Okay, good. Doctor, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You know, I want to ask you some questions about your book because I got to tell you, I try to encourage her, like Cardinal Robert Sarah's book, but another book from Ignatius Press. How did you get this book?
Well, I wrote it because difficult things are in the mental health field.
Yep.
And how difficult it is. In a big study in Florida, much better than those who did, than those who didn't go to marriage. Just from some knowledge, textbooks on anger, on the textbooks on anger, on the rebirth therapy. So I thought, right. To think, great editorial help. I finally got the message. It's got to be a handbook. It's a resource. Go to this.
Awesome.
Anger. Selfishness.
Wow.
So that's how.
Wow.
So Paul II.
Yeah.
Because I have an enormous debt of gratitude for his writing on marriage and family.
Well, to God, all of you did this. This is going to God. So many. This is going to help. You have.
Fitzgibbon, you've done a great service to the church with this book because, has warned us to see that warns the will be against marriage and family. I believe that prophecy of Sister Lucia is being fulfilled right now. I think the family's being attacked. The book that you wrote, Habits for a Healthy Marriage. Who is this book written for?
Good question. Very, very good question. We have very stormy times here over the past 50 years in terms of communicating the truth about families. So this is in our families. So this book is written first and foremost for married couples. Secondly, it is written for Roman Catholic priests. Here's why. The marriage are needed for a healthy marriage in the home. Defend marriage in the home, and to defend marriage in the field of knowledge, that you have the truth with you. And so that's kind of this book to have not an explanation of Catholic marriage, tremendous, and because the culture says, look, marriage is about this. It's about me, get all up happy. Catholic is contrary to that. Catholic marriage is about union and love with your spouse. It's about having children. It's about getting children and your children to heaven. Your spouse and your children to heaven. It's radically different than the cultural view of
it. Wow, I love it. We're going to have you again on our show. This is really important. Forgiveness reduces anger issues in our culture and issues in our forgiveness. And daily forgiveness protects marriage from damaging effects of excessive anger. How does that all work, Doc?
Well, here's where it gets complicated.
Okay.
In terms of emotional pain.
Okay.
Emotional pain.
Okay.
God gives us our mind for many reasons. But one of the things it buries is it denies emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we men,
mm-hmm.
pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we men,
mm-hmm.
and we men do that more than women.
So
part of this book is trying to uncover, look, consider this checklist on the anger chapter.
Yeah.
Consider the checklist on the selfish chapter, the control chapter. And many people are very surprised to discover, oh my gosh, I do have anger. I do have selfishness. Mm-hmm. I do have control. Well, welcome to the human race. We all have those weaknesses at times.
Amen.
It's part of life this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And so forgiveness is extremely important. It is the first step. It reminds me, when I was a family doctor, people came in with high fevers. The first step is lower the temperature.
Amen.
And so in our work with married couples, and this book stresses it, move toward understanding anger. You can deny it, you can express it, or you can forgive. Okay? A lot of people mistakenly think, I'm entitled to express anger in my home. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. No, you're not. Here's why. Anger is very harmful. You express anger at your wife, your children, what do? They put up walls. They pull away from you. They lose their trust in you. We don't want that, because the whole foundation for loving is trusting, maintaining trust in a spouse, maintaining trust in your God, in God with your marriage, is dependent on not expressing anger. It is dependent instead on doing what the Lord told the, smile when I think about this, the Lord told the apostle with the hottest temper, St. Peter, Peter, forgetting seven times? No, Peter, you've got it all wrong. All wrong. Seven times 70. Meaning, Peter, meaning spouse, meaning husband, meaning wife, forgive many times every day. That is essential. Look, marital love, as John Plotkin wrote, is this. Marital love is very demanding. Mm-hmm. It's very demanding, but that's part of its beauty, he writes, that it is demanding, and that it makes us more Christ-like, so that marriage, the other goal of Christian marriage, John Paul II tells us, is to radiate the love of the Trinity into the culture, to children. The flow of love between a husband and a wife, the model for that love, are you ready?
Yep.
John Paul II, it's the Trinity.
Amen.
Who ever heard of that? Who's ever really thought about that?
Yep.
Who's had that in their formation, their theological formation? Who hears that in Sunday masses?
Not
preach.
Many. Not many.
So this book is meant to strengthen couples. It's meant to make them more confident. It's meant to make priests more confident, Catholic educators more confident in communicating the truth, the liberating truth about the beauty of marriage and the vital importance of marriage in this culture.
Get the book at Ignatius Press. I'm holding it up on YouTube right now, because this is a book that can change your life. I said this about my four kids. Any of my kids that haven't been married yet, all of them have to read this book. It's a mandatory reading, and I've been telling people for about a month now to get this book for their children. And for those who have been married even 25 years, read it. You'll learn a lot from it. Jesse, it's your turn, brother.
Yeah, doctor, this is an important issue that you talk about in the book. You talk about generosity and why it's important in marriage.
Yes.
I think this is an area, first of all, that this is where there's been a diabolical attack, because first, when we talk about generosity, one of the things that comes to my mind is openness to life. And I know our Protestant brothers caved in on the issue of openness to life at the Lambeth Conference back in the 1930s. That's and right. Basically, all the Protestant denominations fell like a house of cards. And now we have certain forces in the Catholic Church that are also trying to say, you know what, contraception, we're going to discuss this issue and stuff, and maybe we may go to the Protestant route.
Nope.
So your chapter on generosity is very important. Why did you write that chapter? What influenced you?
Well, what influenced me was this. The most common conflicts I see in marriage are the first three chapters: excessive anger, selfishness, control. Those three. John Paul II has written about that. I couldn't find the quote, so I couldn't citation, or I couldn't include it in the book. I was very disappointed I couldn't include it in the book. But generosity counters the powerful, powerful force of selfishness. What does selfishness do to us? Selfishness leads us to think and behave we, me, 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 not we. Generosity helps us to recognize, no, marriage is not about me. That's the cultural view of marriage. That's the wrong view of marriage. Marriage is about we. It's about sacrificing ourselves. Excuse me.
No problem.
It's about sacrificing ourselves for our spouses. It's about giving ourselves.
Yes.
It's not being focused on just me. So John Paul II would state in most countries of the world he visited, man finds himself by giving himself. that it's by giving yourself that you really find yourself, not by being turned inward. And what selfishness does, in the words of Pope Benedict, selfishness can make you a total prisoner of the self. He wrote, where faith drops, selfishness grows, and love grows cold. And so this is what I've seen over 40 years repeatedly in Catholic marriages. Faith drops, selfishness grows, love becomes cold, I want a divorce. It's your fault that I'm unhappy. You're the reason for my unhappiness. Forget that you grew up with a family in which maybe one of your parents never showed you love. Yeah. How important is that? That's extremely important, because spousal love, while being very important, spousal love comes in on the adult level. Spousal love can't go back and heal the fact that you didn't have a father who hugged you and told you he loved you, or a mother who was controlling or distant. You know, it's marital love is very powerful, but it's not powerful enough to heal the wounds you bring into marriage.
Well said, Doctor. I can't, you know, this is so important. I know I've been married over 30 years, and one little act of kindness is that I try to bring every day I bring a cup of water to my wife's bedstand. And when I come back from the early morning mass, she brings me my drink. And this is just an expression, very small act of kindness. But you know what? If she didn't do it, I'd say, what's wrong? You know, and these are so important to do. When we come back from the break, this chapter on overcoming the urge to control is huge. It's one of the big issues of marriage. And I want you to explain all that. And again, I want to recommend, so folks, at the break time, pick up your phone, call Ignatius Press and get it ordered, or go online to Ignatius Press. The title of the book, Habits for a Healthy Marriage by Dr. Richard P. Fitzgibbons. And it's a handbook for Catholic couples. And I would even say this, even your friends that are non-Catholic, I believe this book will be instrumental in bringing people into the Catholic Church. Over the 40 years I've been involved in evangelization, marriage has been one of the issues that have brought many Protestants into the church because of the beautiful teachings of the Church on Marriage, and especially St. John Paul II. And this is all through his book is the writings of St. John Paul II. So when we come back, we'll ask the good doctor some more questions regarding overcoming the urge to control. You're listening to, yes, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, your spiritual fitness trainers, Jess Romero, Terry Barber, and now Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, MD. We'll be right back with much more. Don't turn that dial. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Hi, this is Eddie Chavez, host of Jesus 911. I want to take this opportunity to let you, our listeners, know about an event being held here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 28th, 2019, beginning at 9 o'clock with Mass in the morning and talks to follow. Ruben Nava and myself will be speaking, so come and hear us talk about St. Michael and Our Lady. Come join us, and we'll see you there.
We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm getting inundated with phone calls. They all want to speak with the good doctor, but you're going to have to wait, folks. I'm sorry. The next time we interview him, we'll take more time and he can take some calls. I've got some questions on his book that I want to really get to. So the next question, Dr. Fitzgibbons, I want to ask you is regarding a chapter 5 on respect to overcoming the urge to control, whether it's the male man or the woman. Could you explain this issue of controlling?
So this is a very important issue in married life, because there can be a tendency, as the scriptures say, to try to dominate.
Yeah.
To try to take over.
Yeah.
And there's many reasons this problem of control is growing, and it's growing for a number of reasons. One is faith drops, control grows, respect diminishes, divorce trauma, all the trauma in the culture, trust drops, the tendency to control increases significantly. Mm-hmm. So this is a major weakness in the character, in the personality. I think all of us can have it at times, but it's very, very important, instead of just obsessing about control, to think, I want to treat my spouse with respect. I want to treat them with a dignity that they deserve, that they're a great gift to me. You know, this God has blessed me with this sacramental bond. God has put a, here's the unique thing about marriage. This is not just a human relationship, right? God has put a sacramental bond between husband and wife. And that sacramental bond, if you respect that bond and you trust that bond, and too few Catholic couples think about it, are told about it, or pray about, ask for grace in that bond to help them. If you do that, you're going to be much more respectful to your husband or your wife. And when you grow in respect, some wonderful things happen. Here's what happens. The temper drops. Anger drops.
Yep.
Because one of the major reasons for anger is a tendency to control.
Well said.
Doctor, let me just continue on that question. There's a verse in the book of Genesis. I'll grab it right now. Maybe I'll deploy it. But it talks about where Eve, one of the things that Eve wrestled with, her concupiscence, so to speak, is that she wanted to dominate her husband after the fall. And so is there a tendency for wives, based on the principle that we see in Scripture with Eve, that one of the disordered passions that a woman oftentimes does wrestle with is the desire to dominate her husband? And of course, I think, you know, husbands have the same fallen nature and the same concupiscence as well. But isn't there this kind of this reciprocity where both of them are trying to dominate each other as a result of our fallen nature and our disordered passions?
Well, that can well be. So difficulty with anger is one of the most common things we treat in husbands. And oftentimes they've modeled that from their fathers. Their father may have overreacted in anger. The tendency to control can be a major problem in women. But a major reason for that is this. We often see women who had alcoholic fathers, or the father who left them, or was abusive to their mother. Well, if a girl and a teenager experiences that, does she have a good foundation to trust her husband? Absolutely not. Okay? This is why the last chapter of this book is so important, that deals with baggage. Knowing our baggage is very important. A baggage weakness that has exploded in marriage is not trusting, because of the drop in faith, the drop in trust in God with your marriage, and because of the terrible divorce epidemic, the withdrawal from marriage, pornography, etc. So trust is really dropped. Trust drops. You tend to control too much.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Doctor. You talk about trust calming anxiety. The place where I find the most calm in my week is when I'm in front of Jesus in a quiet adoration chapel in sacred silence. That, for me, is my hey, if you want to use a millennial word, my safe space. I feel like I'm in paradise for an hour in
heaven, quiet, on earth.
In quiet silence in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And you wrote about trusting calming anxiety. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I agree with you. I try to spend 2 hours a week in adoration, my day off Wednesday and Saturday mornings.
Awesome.
It's tremendously helpful to me in terms of centering on God. But so here's what I mean by that. So we all have anxiety. Everybody has anxiety. The most common psychological problem is anxiety disorders. But the more we trust, the more our anxiety diminishes. So in married life, coaching our husbands, coaching our wives, honey, let's remember, God is in control. Honey, we can trust God. We need to say this to our spouses.
Amen.
We need to hear it from them, and they need to say it to us. You know, we're coming together at the dinner table. A lot of times I can be stressed out from my work. My wife can be stressed out from the kids or different things in the family, different things in the culture. Things in the culture, what's going on in the church, has people tremendously anxious. Trust is dropping incredibly, as Cardinal Sarah writes in his new book, The Day Is Far Spent. So we need to work on trusting. And so, yeah, there we go. There's the book. I mean, simply repeating the words as a meditation, Lord, I trust in you. Look, faith has enormous benefits in dealing with psychological weaknesses. Again, many research studies show that faith diminishes anxiety. Why? For this reason, you can have a sense through faith, there's a God protecting me. When you feel protected, your anxiety level plunges. So faith is enormously beneficial in diminishing anxiety.
Well said. Now, Doctor, we talk about having great hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the time. How does hope reduce sadness and loneliness in marriage? Can you explain that? Because it's a chapter in your book.
Yeah, so hope is a very, very important virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's first words to Adam were about the human condition when he said, Adam, it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
Those words are not just meant for marriage. Those words are meant for every vocation. They're meant for children. They're meant for teenagers. There is a plan for God has a plan for every single one of us.
Amen.
To protect us from loneliness. We are witnessing severe explosion, epidemic explosion of suicide in young men, okay?
Yeah.
In adolescents, in single women and men in their 40s and 50s. Why is this? One of the major reasons is no hope, profound loneliness.
Yep.
Profound loneliness. Why should I live? There's no point in living. Hope gives you a reason for living. Hope gives you this. Hope gives you have a sense of mission. All right, you're a young guy. You don't have a job. You're worried how you're going to provide. My father had five children. My father couldn't afford five children. He trusted that God would provide for him.
Yep.
He put his hope in the Lord, and the Lord provided for him almost up to his 84th birthday when God called him. Okay? He provided for him. So if we got to communicate to young people, there's a mission for your life, even if your parents are divorced, even if the economy looks bad, even if you feel, I can't afford houses. It's with huge withdrawal from marriage. I can't afford to get married. But hope gives a greater sense that there's a we can trust there can be a positive outcome for events and circumstances in one's life.
Praise God.
I'm so glad you wrote this book, because I'll tell you, you're basically repeating a lot of things that are found in the Theology of the Body by St. John Paul II. And we need somebody like you to repeat that sound theology, because right now we're undergoing, as Sister Lucia said back in 1970, we're undergoing a diabolical disorientation that's invading the world and misleading souls. And your book is a book based on sound doctrine that's leading souls back to Christ, Holy Mother Church, and the truth. Having said that, what are the benefits in maintaining one's confidence in what they bring to the marriage, or as you call them, the gifts they bring to the marriage?
Extremely important. Extremely important. Having gratitude for the gifts we bring into our marriage. And I'll tell you, women are a little more fortunate than we guys are in this regard. Here's why. In growing up, the mother, the role model, tends to be much more praising and complimentary of a daughter and a son than the father is of his sons. So as men, our confidence comes on a human level, first and foremost from our relationship with our fathers, then brothers, then peers, then too much sports, way too much sports. Okay. But so people, there are many men who go through life being very wounded because they felt they couldn't please their fathers. But the reality is our gifts don't come, can come to a degree from our earthly father. Yes. But far more importantly, our gifts as men come from our father who is God. He is our first father. We were created in his image. Okay. And so he provides gifts for us. So for men who struggle with confidence, most of us do at times, all of us do at times, feel struggled with confidence. But if we can enter into gratitude for our God-given gifts, and if we can forgive, this is extremely important, if we can work at forgiving those who've hurt us, this is important for everything we've talked about so far, because here's what happens. We get hurt. We become sad. We become anxious. We become insecure. We don't trust people. We become controlling. Around all of that is anger. And as John Paul II wrote, unless we forgive, we are prisoners of the past. I brought John Paul II's thinking, his theology, into every single chapter of this book. Every chapter begins with a quote from John Paul II because he has tremendous wisdom to help Catholic marriages, and Catholic marriages need this now more than ever.
Well said. I want to recommend also folks going online and reading a letter to Catholic families from St. John Paul II back in 1994. He said, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. And that's why I want the good doctor to share more about habits for a healthy marriage. And again, you can get the book from Ignatius Press. I don't get a dime telling you to get it from Ignatius Press. You know what I get? The satisfaction that knowing that you're going to read a great book that's going to help your marriage. And let's face it, healthy marriages, healthy culture. So this is why I do it. When we come back from the break, I want to ask about chapter 8. And my phone is just burning up with texts with people asking questions. And we're going to have to wait till the next time we have the doctor on, because I want to make sure I cover the foundations of his book. But chapter 8, we're going to talk about how does prudence improve patience. Patience, me! I have very little patience, so I want to know about that with my being prudent. It's going to relate well with me. But the doctor, your book that you published through Ignatius Press called Habits for a Healthy Marriage just came out, so I want to encourage people to definitely get a copy by going to Ignatius Press, and it would be a valuable book to have on any Catholic family. And also, as I said before, I think this book is going to bring people into the Catholic Church. A non-Catholic reading this book will look at it and say, wow, this is what the Catholic Church teaches about marriage. Sign me up. I guarantee it'll happen.
We're different than other religions.
You got it. Much more. All right, get yourself a cup of coffee, some hot tea. We got another segment with the good doctor, Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, the author of the book Habits for a Healthy Marriage. Lots more questions for him when we come right back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this. And I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
much
it.
Out there.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We have an exciting guest, Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons. He's wrote an incredible book that I think everybody should get on your social media and say, cut and paste the link to the show and send it to people in your social media network. How many people in our family and our friends need to hear what the good doctor has to say? How many people are struggling in their marriages? The book is called Habits for a Healthy Marriage, a handbook for Catholic couples. And I'm telling you right now, I'm purchasing a couple of these books right after the show immediately. I know at least a half a dozen people that need to have this book.
Absolutely.
As we continue with the good doctor, just want to mention that tonight I'm going to be giving a lecture here in Buckeye, Arizona at the Montessori Academy. I'm going to be speaking to the Conservative American Latino Organization. I'm going to be talking about how to vote as a Catholic Christian or a Protestant Christian, forming your moral conscience according to the Word of God. But we continue here with the good doctor, Dr. Fitzgibbons, the book Habits for a Healthy Marriage. In chapter 8, you say that you talk about how prudence will improve patience. Boy, oh boy, the way I can hear my mom,
sign me up.
May rest in peace. She always used that word in Spanish, old Mexican lady, very, very simple woman from Mexico, always would tell her sons and her daughters, tengan prudencia, tengan prudencia. I say that word was bandied around all my life in Spanish. Be prudent with each other. Be prudent with each other. So talk about that chapter, doctor.
All right. So communication is extremely important.
Yeah.
How important? One of the big studies on divorce, University of Minnesota. What's the leading reason noted for getting divorced? 53% say poor communication. So maintaining positive communication. One proverb is, in married life, five positive comments for each negative. Very prudent. Very, very prudent. When your spouse talks to you, the first response, oh, honey, thank you for your opinion, even if you don't agree with it. Thank you for your opinion. And then the sandwich technique. But maybe we could think about this or that. And so trying to master the other emotions we've talked about, anger, selfishness, control, all these things, anxiety, all these things interfere with communication. My own view is what can be very helpful at like grace before meals at dinner is thanking God for the food. And Lord, thank you for the stress, lifting from us the stress of today, the stress that can make us irritable, the stress that can make us anxious, the emotional stress that can make us negative. Lift that from us because the scriptures say the Lord loves a cheerful giver. In our married life, we're meant to be cheerful.
Amen.
We have reason to be thankful. So let's try to be cheerful at this dinner table. Let's try to be cheerful with each other. Oh, I got all these worries. I got all this. Fine. We all have those worries. Read some Psalms and try to be more trusting. And you're more trusting, you're more prudent. So monitoring what we say and how we speak is very important. We know the scriptures say this. This is scary. We're going to be judged on every word that comes from our mouth.
Wow. Hey,
yes. Yay. Mm-hmm. That's my God. Oh, my God. Good reason they go to confession frequently.
Amen, brother.
So really being careful about what we say. And then recognizing this, that a lot of times the problems with our communication is we are repeating a communication weakness of our father or our mother. That's in the last chapter.
Yeah.
Unless we work at that, we're going to do that. If our fathers were a little too negative, we're irritable as guys, in all likelihood, we may act that way down the road, even though we've thought, oh, I'm never going to do that. A lot of guys come to see me, Doc, I was never going to be angry. Here I am, 40, I'm acting just like my dad. How did it ever happen to me? So, well, it's great you thought that, but the problem is you did not ask the Lord to free you from that.
Wow.
You didn't do what an alcoholic would do. I'm powerless over, fill in the blank, turn it over to God. Very simple, but very powerful. Help me with my marital communication by helping me be more positive and tone down the other negative emotions we've talked about earlier in this program.
Doctor, throughout the book, you talk about St. John Paul II, and he says that the virtue of temperance guarantees every man's mastery of the lower self by the higher self. You know, we talk about our lower nature kicking in, but I think it's a similar, he has a little different way of saying it. But how can you explain what he means by lower self by the higher self?
Well, sure. I mean, so the passions, gaining control over the passions. So Thomas Aquinas would write about this, right?
He did.
So the intellect, the mind, is meant to help us with our passions. Mm-hmm. Virtues can help us with our passions. Okay, those things are great with passions. But the bottom line is, oftentimes with fighting the passions, we need grace and sacraments also.
Amen.
So we can work on a human level, and we should work on a human level, the fight against pornography, the fight against compulsive shopping, the fight against men going to work out 5-7 days a week to try to build up their muscles, because that's the only way they feel strong as men. So these are compulsions. And I think all of us have them to one degree or another, but certainly fighting against the compulsion, the major terrible compulsions, the compulsion of pornography, the compulsions of marijuana. I have to say this. I have an article online in April at Catholic World Report.
I remember
High potency marijuana.
Yep, I read it.
Epidemic of the worst mental illness there is, paranoid delusions worldwide.
Yes.
Is it reported in the United States? No. It's reported in Paris. It's reported in London. It's reported in Amsterdam. Why isn't it reported here? Because we don't track it. Unbelievable. Yep. We don't track it.
Well said, Doc. Well said. I read that article, and Jesse and I actually did a show based on that article when it came out. So we're on the same page. Jess Romero wrote a book, 50 Questions on Why Marijuana is Bad. And so thank you for what you've done. Okay. Go ahead, Jess.
Right. Yeah, Doctor, in your 40 years of in this field of study, what's the leading cause for marital infidelity? Before you answer, I'm going to guess there's three people that have a lot to do with marital infidelity. One of them's name is Hugh Hefner, who started Playboy Enterprises back in the 50s. Right. Another one is a guy named Bob Guccione, who started Penthouse in 1965. And another one, his name is, back in 74, Larry Flint started Hustler. I'm just guessing these three guys had something to do with marital infidelity. Am I tracking on the right direction?
You're tracking in the right direction, but I think one of the major causes of marital infidelity today is the internet, the proximate cause.
Yep.
Let me track down my old girlfriend. Let me track down my old boyfriend. I'm not that happy in my marriage, you know? I'm unhappy in my marriage, so let me try to track down somebody from my past and see maybe I could find some. Maybe I made a mistake back there. Maybe that person could help me with the problem I have. Although I would say this. I think the major cause of marital infidelity is profound selfishness.
Wow.
You don't, and it's a lack of understanding of Catholic marriage. If you understand the truth about Catholic marriage, this is a phenomenal mission. Love your spouse. Have children. Have a number of children, not just two. Have a number of children.
Right.
And try to get you and your husband, your spouse and your children to heaven. Try to radiate the love of God, the love of the Trinity. The more you love each other, that flow of love between a husband and a wife, that gives children a sense of God's love. It gives others around you. People think, God, what is with this couple? There's something extremely special about being with him. What's a foretaste of being with God?
Amen. Now, I know the number one cause for poverty in America is divorce. And you cover this. How does justice prevent divorce? Because we want to prevent that.
That's a very important question. What does justice require of us? Justice requires this. Mm-hmm. And this is not focused enough. We don't hear this enough in our churches. We don't hear this enough in programs that focus on divorce prevention or annulments. Justice requires this. We give what is due to the other. We give what is due to God. He put the sacramental bond there. We give what is due to our spouses and to our children. Well, what is due to them if you're thinking of divorce? What is due is you're working on yourself. Because so many people we see go to get divorced and go to get annulments, and they're the ones with the primary psychological problems. They're the ones with a deep loneliness for father love or mother love that never got addressed, or mistrust of a father, or sexual abuse when young, and they take that all out on their husband. In other words, you are the cause of all my unhappiness. Totally wrong. 50% maybe, but not 100%. Not enough to get a divorce. So our view very strongly is this. Justice requires that you work for a number of years on yourself. Doesn't mean you see someone like me or a mental health professional. You work at growing in virtues, growing in grace. Know yourself. Go to the last chapter. Read about baggage that comes from your family background onto you. Every one of us has baggage.
Amen.
One perfect family only. Every one of us. Find out what is your major weakness from your father or your mother. Guess what? You could repeat them, or you could have major problems trusting your husband or trusting your wife. And here we go back to the issue of trust.
Yes.
So if you couldn't trust your husband or what mother or father growing up, here's good news. If you couldn't, from a Catholic perspective, you can forgive that parent. You go, if it's the father, you forgive that parent. You work with a priest on a relationship with God or St. Joseph as your other father. If it's your mother, you forgive your mother. You work on a relationship with Our Lady as your other mother. When you do those things, your unhappiness diminishes. And guess what? You feel happier and more fulfilled in your marriage.
Amen. Wow, Jesse?
That's a mouthful. Yeah. You know what?
Great advice.
When the doctor was talking about selfishness, it's gotten so bad that now society is embracing two men getting married. That's the ultimate act of selfishness, in my opinion, because that's a completely sterile act. It's all carnal. That relationship is all based on the carnal, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I've even read other articles where there are some places that are allowing people to marry robots, or they want to legalize the married into robots. Talk about the ultimate form of selfishness. And in Japan and in China, they're saying, well, this way you don't have to worry about children and diapers and your wife, you know, having been in a bad mood, et cetera, et cetera. So we are moving at warp speed as we move away from sound doctrine given to us by St. John Paul II in the Catholic Church. We're moving into the twilight zone. We're moving into a brave new world.
Oh, we are. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church is phenomenal on marriage.
Yes.
I wish everyone listening would read that. Catechism of the Catholic Church on marriage and on the virtue of hope.
Yes.
Tremendous on the virtue of hope for all marriages. Extremely strengthening.
The name of the book, again, Habits for a Healthy Marriage. If you just tuned in, you can listen to this podcast, okay, because we got to run it. The music's on with Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons. He's a medical doctor, and he's an on-fire Catholic. That's the thing I like most about him. You know,
he's got fire in his belly.
Exactly. He loves Jesus and his bride, the church. And he's got a PhD in common sense, and he's a doctor about...
And an earned PhD.
Yeah, too. That's right.
Double PhD.
Will you come back again, Doc, to talk more about your book with us?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Dick, Doctor. And again, go to Ignatius Press to get that book. Hey, Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Gotta live in the state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. If you're in the state of mortal sin, run to confession as soon as possible after the show. Get on your knees, do an act of contrition. And if you listen to the show, you must pray the daily rosary or don't listen to the show.
That's
we don't
our
want
requirement.
You to listen. We don't want you as a listener if you're not praying the daily rosary.
Hey, and I want to thank all you folks who donate to Virgin Most Powerful. If you want to be a monthly donor, call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872. I'm the only knucklehead who gives my cell phone out. Why? I love you. Get to heaven. That's what we're about. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.